From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, June 16th, 2021.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by the Maine law firm of Eaton Peabody, serving generations of Maine families and businesses from offices in Augusta, Bangor, Brunswick, Ellsworth, and Portland.
Maine residents could win some big bucks if they receive at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine in the next 2 weeks. Governor Janet Mills announced today a new sweepstakes-style incentive program for any Mainers already vaccinated or who get a shot by the end of June, with a pot totaling more than $876,000. Mills says the program is meant to encourage more residents to get the shots and also to help put Maine ahead of other nearby states in the national vaccine standings.
We're a competitive group here, you know. We want to be first in the nation. We don't want to be second or third. We want to beat out Vermont. We want to beat out Connecticut. So New England's sibling rivalry. We're not satisfied. We're pleased with our progress, but we're never satisfied until we're number one.
All qualifying residents 12 and older can enter the contest online or by phone. Maine is awarding the prize out of federal funds. Mills says that 74% of eligible residents have received at least one shot. The Maine Center for Disease Control is reporting another 51 new cases of COVID-19. The number is up from 29 yesterday and 13 the day before. 5 new deaths are also being reported today. 32 people are hospitalized with the disease, and 17 are in critical care, 7 are on ventilators. Milestone Recovery is reopening its detoxification program in Portland on June 21st. That's nearly 3 months to the day since it closed in March. The program was forced to close due to staffing shortages, says Executive Director Oliver Braudin. And during that time, he says, staff fielded dozens, if not hundreds, of phone calls a day.
You know, over the weekend, from Saturday evening through till 6:45 Monday morning, we had 312 calls of people seeking our service. So, you know, demand is higher than it's really ever been.
Braudin says Milestone's detoxification program is able to reopen after receiving a boost in funding from the state and from donors, which allowed them to hire additional staff. The program is the only one in southern Maine that serves people on Maine Care, the uninsured, and the underinsured. Maine Medical Center is receiving the largest philanthropic gift in its 150-year history. The Portland Hospital announced on Tuesday that Booth Bay summer residents John and Leslie Malone are donating $25 million for a modernization project. The 5-year, $500 million project kicked off construction in 2018. The latest gift launches the public phase of the capital campaign. In a press release, Maine Medical Center says the modernization project has already added 64 new private patient rooms, a new heliport, and more than 200 new parking spaces. The $25 million gift from the Malones will help fund a new tower named in their honor that will add another 64 patient rooms and 19 procedure rooms. In the weather for tonight, clear with lows down to 41 in the western valleys to 50 along the south coast. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high 65 to 78 north to south. The Maine House and Senate have given initial approval to a bill that would create a consumer-owned public utility through a takeover of Central Maine Power and Versant Power. The votes came as Democratic Governor Janet Mills continued to signal that she'll likely veto the bill, setting up a showdown that could occur later this month. Steve Missler has more.
While sometimes parroting talking points prepared by lobbyists, the House and Senate debate over a potential consumer-owned utility still managed to capture the high stakes of the forced sale and public purchase of the state's two investor-owned electric companies.
Most of us don't think much about how we get our electricity until something goes wrong. Unfortunately, here in Maine, that happens all too often.
Democratic Representative Nicole Grahowski of Ellsworth, a co-sponsor of the bill, said during Tuesday's House debate that those problems are rooted in the foreign-owned utility companies that divert their profits to shareholders instead of improving customer service and the electricity infrastructure they maintain.
With our investor-owned, monopoly, non-competitive utilities, CMP and Versant, Maine has the least reliable utilities nationwide with the lowest customer service ratings, bar none.
I really want this to change.
Representative Scott Cuddy, a Democrat from Winterport, says the proposal would wrest control of the investor-owned utilities and empower Maine ratepayers.
I want us to take control of our energy independence, our energy future, and LD 1708 is a way to do that.
But some opponents, including CMP, describe the bill as a government takeover. Others say it's an ill-conceived concept that's rushed, poorly vetted, and kicks the hard decisions to Maine voters, who could have the chance to ratify the utility takeover as soon as November. Republican Senate leader Jeff Timberlake of Turner said that such drastic action is born from misplaced blame. Ultimately, he says, if Maine's two largest utilities are failing ratepayers, then state regulators, specifically the Maine Public Utilities Commission, are partially responsible.
It's their job to oversee all of our public utilities. And if CMP is doing as bad a job as all of us in this room have said they are, then the PUC is not doing its job.
Opponents of the bill also warned that it could make promises that it can't keep. Democratic Senator Bill Diamond of Windham also worries that Maine taxpayers could be on the hook for unforeseen costs, even though supporters suggest otherwise.
I mean, it looks good here and it sounds good and it's a comfort, but I'm not sure we can really say that directly.
Opponents of the bill came up short in the House as it won initial approval by a vote of 76-62, while the Senate also narrowly approved it 19-16. But the battle is far from over. Democratic Governor Janet Mills continues to signal that a veto is imminent. She has cited a number of concerns, including skepticism toward the consumer-owned utility's proposed governing structure, the lack of required expertise for members of the new elected board, and the proposed language of the ballot question that voters could consider in November. If the governor vetoes the bill, supporters would need a two-thirds vote in the House and Senate to override her, margins that were not evident in the initial votes taken this week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Tourism took a big hit in Maine during the first year of the coronavirus pandemic. But this summer could be different. Many Americans are newly vaccinated against the virus and eager to hit the road. But there's a big question hanging over this tourism season. Will Maine have enough workers to serve up all the lobster rolls, craft beer, and other attractions that draw so many travelers here? The state's hospitality industry has struggled to find workers this spring, so much so that Governor Janet Mills just launched a program providing cash bonuses to some Mainers who start jobs between now and July. For more on this challenge, we turn to Maine Public's Charlie Ihacker. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Robbie.
So what's this problem that restaurants are dealing with?
So I'll get there in a sec, but first, let me just catch you up on the last year and a half, in case you want to go there. During the first part of the coronavirus pandemic, pretty much all restaurants closed entirely. Then many of them reopened in some fashion, you know, whether that later that spring, that summer, sometimes with more outdoor dining or takeout service, but they weren't at full capacity. So many workers got laid off. Now that coronavirus restrictions have been lifted and lots of diners are returning, they've been crunched to refill those thousands of jobs. The problem is really greatest in some tourist hotspots along the coast. Take the Governor's Restaurant and Bakery. It's a chain of family restaurants that's mostly been able to staff up in its inland locations, such as in Bangor and Old Town. But its Ellsworth location is a stone's throw from Acadia National Park, and Governor still hasn't reached normal summer staffing levels there. Now it's closing an hour early each night, even though that means losing key business from diners who are driving off Mount Desert Island. Here's Jason Clay. He's Governor's Director of Operations.
We're pretty much market average when it comes to wages down there. We're just not even getting applications in general because there's a lack of workforce. You know, everybody that wants to work in that area is working. And that's something that, you know, every summer that's a challenge down there, but it's really unprecedented this year.
Wow. So what do people think are causing these new challenges?
There's no simple or single explanation. During an interview last week on Maine Calling, Maine's labor commissioner, Laura Fortman, mentioned a couple of reasons, including a lack of childcare for potential workers and the fear that some Mainers may still have about contracting COVID-19. That's on top of unaffordable housing and a lack of transportation in many places. And some former workers are just fed up with the high stress and often low pay of restaurant work. Another big issue is that the state had 24,000 temporary foreign workers in the summer of 2019, but many of them haven't been able to return because of various restrictions. And then there's expanded unemployment benefits. Congress has approved an extra $300 per week as part of its COVID response, and Maine is also offering some extra assistance. But Republicans and many businesses think that this is dissuading people from going back to work. Here was how Commissioner Fortman responded to that last week.
For some people, the enhanced benefits may factor into their thinking, but I do not think that that's a primary reason. I think it's a complicated situation, and there are lots of decisions that people are juggling.
So how are restaurants responding to all of these changes?
For now, many of them have had to limit their hours, maybe ending, you know, service an hour early here or there, and also limit their seating capacity. They're asking customers to be understanding and patient if they face a long wait for a table or a meal. Many of them have also started offering greater wages to their workers, as well as bonuses and other incentives to get applicants in the door. And they've also had to raise their prices to afford, you know, those wages increases and other operating costs. Some of them argue that this has been a necessary correction even, and that restaurants should have been paying workers more all along. In Maine, the minimum wage is $12.15 for most of Maine, but just about $6 for tipped employees. Andrew and Brianna Volk own the Portland Hunt and Alpine Club. It's a Scandinavian-themed restaurant and cocktail bar, and they've been vocal advocates of raising the minimum wage. During the pandemic, they bumped their starting pay to $15 for their front of house staff and $18 in the kitchen. That's on top of paid time off, subsidies for health insurance and other benefits. Now, Andrew says they've gotten many applications for open positions.
It's definitely hard to find staff if you're offering them $5 an hour. If you offer them three times as much and you subsidize their healthcare premiums like we do, you get staff. You know, it's not rocket science.
But others in the industry say that what works in Portland might not translate in other parts of the state, such as Ellsworth, which have smaller workforces and diners who may not be willing to pay a premium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Governor Mills, she just announced a new program that will award a one-time payment of $1,500 to some workers who recently received unemployment benefits and start jobs in June, and then $1,000 if they start in July. What are people in the industry saying about that?
They welcome it, certainly, but they also don't think it's clear yet how much of a difference it will make. Steve Hewins is with Hospitality Maine, a trade group for restaurants and lodging businesses. He says that it's a short-term solution when really Maine should be expecting to deal with this challenge for years to come.
This is just the short summer of 21 problem. The long-term plan is really where we're going to really have to work with the state and with the other areas like education to really kind of develop a long-term pathway to create new workers in this industry, because we just can't go through this every year. It's going to be a problem that isn't going to go away unless we find a way out of it.
And Maine's Department of Labor has launched a website where employers can verify that their workers qualify for the program and submit the necessary documentation for those payments to go out.
And for more on this, you can visit mainepublic.org. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Robbie.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on the next Maine Calling on Thursday at 11 a.m., in advance of the opening of the Children's Museum and Theater of Maine's new building, we talk with museum directors about how museums across the state have fared during the pandemic, the outlook for the upcoming season, and the role that museums play in both reflecting and defining Maine's identity. That's coming up tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Maine Public Radio. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thank you for listening.